The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Real Recognition Radio, a program designed to promote a positive work environment. Your hosts are Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. In this hour, you will be motivated to motivate, increase morale, productivity, loyalty, and reduce turnover. Learn how some companies get it while others don't. Now, here are your hosts, Roy and Max.
Welcome to Real Recognition Radio, the show that's all about creating a better workplace and developing positive relationships where people can thrive. I'm Max Brown, along with my colleague, Roy Saunderson, and we're from the Recognition Management Institute. Roy, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Max. How about yourself?
I'm doing great as well. Thank you for asking. I'm excited for this show for so many different reasons, but, man, three guests. It's fantastic.
I know. We've never done this before, Max.
I'm excited.
I know. Our topic today is even more exciting because I know it's been something we've talked about many times about the importance of being positive and I think just kind of stretching the limits. And so our show today is on positive influence and defying gravity. And in today's workshop, I think about this topic, and when you look at the workplace today, Max, how do you feel a positive influence and social networking makes a difference today?
Wow, I love the quote from Barbara Fredrickson. She wrote the book called Positivity, where she said, and I paraphrase, but flourishing is not a solo endeavor. We need people in our lives in order to flourish. And these three people, for me, have been spectacular, and particularly from a social network and the connections we've made together. And they're experts in their field, and so
right.
I'm delighted to be able to have them talk about it. You know, Roy, the thing for me, though, is that I'm not perfect at this, you know, like there are days when I feel down and it's hard and I got to be able to feel okay. And the question is when we feel down, how do we get back up? And I think that's
right.
Why we need to talk to some experts today that we have on the show, and maybe I'll welcome them now. What do you think?
Great. Good. Go for it.
So let's do this. And what we'll do for our listeners is today we have three different guests. One is Rebel Brown. The second one is Phyllis Muthson, and third, Jane Perdue. And we are grateful to have all three of them on the show. Today we're going to start with Rebel, and so I will introduce her, and then in the second segment we will continue with Phyllis, and then the third segment with Jane. And then our fourth segment we're going to just do a round robin and have some fun and just talk with everyone on the line. So, Rebel, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Max. I'm thrilled to be here.
I am so glad you'd be with us as well. And Rebel is the author of Defy Gravity. She consistently challenges the status quo to deliver optimum solutions, and I laugh right there because I have this wonderful image of who you are, Rebel, so I love this.
How could I not have the status quo with a name like Rebel, Max? I mean, come on.
Yeah, exactly right. I know. I love it. And you're combined strategic expertise, tactical savvy, for a lot of global corporate clients. And, I mean, you do a lot with turnaround and launches and corporate strategy, a lot in leadership, motivational skills to get the job done. You're an international consultant, and you've worked with over 100 different clients, large to small, a lot of different startups, and clear to B2C, B2B, all kinds of different markets. So thank you, Rebel, for being with us, and tell us how and why Defy Gravity.
Well, Defy Gravity came about as a result of that 22 years of consulting, Max,
yeah.
Because as I looked at companies, and you know what, it didn't matter whether they were small businesses, entrepreneurship, startups, larger organizations or big companies that were in a turnaround or a startup mode or start-around mode, what I started seeing was that they all shared a common denominator, which was what I call gravity.
Mm-hmm.
And gravity is the status quo way of thinking or doing or being that we end up in, and it limits our potential. And, you know, what happens is we are all natural-born gravity machines. I mean, gravity only exists because we create it. And it's in our DNA to create gravity, and that's okay because we create it because we're learning machines.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do, and we do this, and by the way, everything I talk about, it applies in our businesses, but it also applies in our personal selves because we learn. We learn from our experiences, both positive and negative. Mm-hmm. We learn from the people around us. When we're kids, we learn from our parents and our siblings and our families and our playmates, and then we learn from our teachers, and then in business, we learn from our mentors and our coaches and the people around us, and we take all this learning and we create belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
About our world, ourselves, our businesses. And mm-hmm. those belief systems over time become knowns, and then they become status quo, and before you know it, they become gravity, and the way we've always done it becomes the reason for the mess we're in.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And it's natural, because we do learn from our experiences, but what happens is because we are learning machines, we
yes.
can learn to defy gravity, and that's what the book is all about. It is a set. It is designed to help us learn how to find gravity, how to ditch that gravity, how to think differently, and how to look at and approach our businesses and our growth with a fresh perspective. So we make a shift from gravity thinking to growth thinking.
So tell me more about that, because some might be thinking, well, you know, I mean, gravity is a universal principle here on Earth, and we're all stuck here kind of thing, so how are you saying I should levitate, if you will, or how do I defy this gravity?
Well, you know, if you think about it, here's the thing. If you think about gravity, let me give you some examples. If you think about gravity, gravity comes along when we have, let's take a process in our business. We have a way that we, and here's one of my favorites, best practices, right? Everybody talks about best practices. Well, best practices were best practices at a point in time.
Mm-hmm.
But a year later, they're not best practices anymore because our markets are shifting so quickly. Our world has accelerated so much, mainly due to the Internet. I mean, let's face it, because of the Internet, we have more access to information, we have access to people. It shifted the way we manage our businesses, the way we talk to customers, the way customers make decisions. Everything shifted. So if you look at a best practice process that was designed 12 months ago, today it is no longer best practice. Because our world has shifted, our customers have shifted, everything around us has shifted. And yet, if we're continuing to follow that best practice, we are no longer in sync with our markets and the needs of our customers, and there's probably a better way. And that analogy of best practice goes throughout our lives. I mean, gravity exists because we create it, and gravity limits our ability to grow and to see our potential.
So if I understand correctly, Rebel, it sounds like it's almost like we protect ourselves, or at least we use it as an excuse for not changing, or as a reason for why we do what we do.
Right. Well, what happens, Max, is, you know, if you think about it, I mean, think about our economy today. I think it's a really great example of gravity, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everywhere you look, the headlines say, you know, woe is me, business is down, nobody's succeeding, we're all going to die, all our friends are saying everything's horrible. We all believe that nobody's thriving in this new economy, and that is gravity. If you look and you get out there and you search, there are tons of companies that are thriving in today's economy, in this new economy, because they shifted from gravity thinking and the way they'd always done it to thinking about how do we do things differently, how do we take advantage of these changes, and how do we up-level our thinking? So, you know, there's all kinds of opportunities for us, but what happens is, we're human beings, and you cannot separate human nature from business. You simply can't.
Yeah,
so what happens is we get afraid. Think about it. We get afraid in the new economy, and we hunker down, and what do when we're afraid? We go to what is known and comfortable, and we hang on with all our might. And that's what gravity is. Our status quo beliefs are known, they're comfortable, and they're safe.
Mm-hmm.
So the more we get, the more things change and become, you know, and we see upheaval, the more we look for something that's solid and secure that we can hang on to. And unfortunately, that's usually not the best way to grow our businesses or to grow ourselves.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, we need to get out there and try some new things, don't we?
And think differently. You know, one of the reasons I wrote the book, you know, it's not a typical strategy book, because most strategy books, you read them and then you get done and you look and you think, okay, so what do I do with that now? That
was Yeah.
And so one of the things we did with the book is the book is actually written so that it doesn't, it talks about strategies for defining gravity, releasing strategy for finding your value, finding your market opportunities, and growing your business, but it just doesn't stop with the strategy and the concepts. It includes case studies from small businesses and large businesses and in between. It includes examples. It includes summary sheets at the end of every chapter to talk about what you should have learned and the lessons learned. And then it also applies in each section. There's a series of questions and exercises to do as a solo entrepreneur, as part of a team, as part of a corporate group, that you can actually apply the principles in the book to your business and start to identify gravity and shift immediately.
So can you give us an example of a successful company or maybe more importantly, not just an example of a company doing it, but what did they do to get out of that comfort zone? Because it's scary.
Well, you know, the comfort zone, it doesn't have to be scary. That's
okay.
The thing. You know, we have this idea that change has to be this big bang change, big boom,
okay.
Right?
Good.
And it doesn't.
Yep.
Change can be very simple. And let me give you, I'm going to give you a really simple example of a shift that blew me away. And this is probably somebody, I know Jane knows this person. There's a gentleman on Twitter named Randy Seitz. And I don't know how many people on this call know Randy. But Randy's been a CEO for 20 years, and Randy right now is running a business called the Oil Alliance, the Regional Oil Alliance in Pennsylvania. And what he is think of him as a supercharged chamber of commerce, okay? He does small business development. He does international trade. He works with the large oil companies and the large manufacturers to bring in more business. And he's got a team of people that they go out and do business development for this area. And he is a nonprofit. Now, think about being a nonprofit in today's market. Not exactly fun, right? He's out looking for money and funding from businesses to help other businesses grow.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I had chatted because he was like, I can't see a way around it. I am tired of doing donations. I can't raise money. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I had sent him an advanced reader's copy of Defy Gravity.
Yeah.
And he called me one day and he said, I'm buying 5 copies and I want you to sign them for my team. I'm like, whoa, Randy, you don't have to do that for me, right? And he said, no, you don't understand. You just solved my problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what do you mean? And he said, you know, I am a barnacle on everybody's butt. Oops, I shouldn't say butts on the radio show. But he did. You know, I'm a barnacle. I'm out there with my hand out asking for money from businesses when what I should be is out there with my hand out showing them how to make money, because that's my that's what I'm here for.
Sure.
And he said, I sat down with your book one night, and I went through one of the exercises, which is list all of the things that you absolutely know to be true about your business.
Yeah.
And he said, I listed, okay, I have 5 executives who are, between us, we have 80 years of business development experience.
Yeah.
We are here to help our companies, our businesses in this area grow. We are a nonprofit. We are funded by donations from big businesses. We are, and he said, that's when it stopped. And it hit me. Who says I have to be funded by donations?
Yeah.
I have 5 executives, and between us, we have 80 years of experience in business development, and we've been through 3 economic ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't I go sell those executives as consultants to help the large businesses in my area with their business development and take those funds and use them to fund my nonprofit? And that is exactly what he's doing. He changed one word. He changed donations to revenues.
Yeah.
And he's now out. He is successfully on plan to be fully self-funded by this time next year.
What a great example.
Now going to the people he formerly looked at as people who donated to him are now clients for him. Instead of putting his hand out and asking for money for free, he's offering a service in return with value in return for revenue, and that revenue is becoming the fuel for his nonprofit.
Perfect example. Perfect example.
And think how simple that was. That wasn't a big upheaval. That wasn't a scary change.
Right.
That was him simply saying, why do I believe that? How
great
do I
example.
Know that's true? And what are my other options?
Well, perfect example. And thank you for sharing that with us. I appreciate this glimpse into what you're talking about. I know we've just scratched the surface here, but we do have to take a quick break. I want people to know how do they get a hold of you if they want to be able to find out more about you?
Yep. The way to find me is www.rebelbrown.com.
Excellent, excellent. So please stay with us, if you would, Rebel, because we want to bring you back in that last segment. We're going to bring this together, but we do have to take a quick break. Thank you for your time today so far. This is
it's going to move way faster than we expected. Fun.
Yeah, so for Real Recognition Radio, this is Max Brown and Roy Saunderson with our guests today, Rebel Brown and Phyllis Musson and Jane Perdue, and you're listening to the Real Recognition Radio on the Voice America Business Channel. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
Women in business today face many challenges in advancing their careers and reaching their goals. There are corporate executives, entrepreneurs, and business owners that have made their mark in business. Now you can learn their secrets and tips. Listen to Head Over Heels, Women's Business Radio, as your host Bonnie Marcus explores how to thrive in the business environment, navigate the workplace, and climb the corporate ladder. Listen live every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel and effectively promote yourself today.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio. I'm Roy Saunderson along with my colleague Max Brown and our guests today, Rebel Brown, Phyllis Musson, and Jane Perdue. And I'd like now to welcome our guest, Phyllis Musson, for this next segment. How are you doing there, Phyllis?
Hi, Roy, and thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, we're glad to have you all on the show. And just to give folks a bit of a background on yourself there, Phyllis, for 25 years you've been helping clients move from places in their lives of exhausted possibility to new challenges and fulfillment. And as a professional speaker, Phyllis has presented to audiences ranging from chambers of commerce to the Association of Psychological Type. Her insights and ideas have appeared in national newspapers, on radio programs, and TV. Phyllis has served as a director of career services at Moore College of Art and Design and as a marketing and public relations executive. She's a certified life coach with the Coach Training Institute and a graduate of their Coactive Leadership Program. And she serves on the U.S. Board of the Association of Career Professionals International. Phyllis, as I consider the whole realm of coaching and what you do, is there any kind of common challenge that you see has been emerging with most of the people that you've been working with?
Well, I'd say a couple of common challenges. One is that when they call me, they're usually at a place of pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you always think it would be great if people would be proactive about their careers, but actually they usually call when it's really, really not working right, and they're saying, get me out of here.
Yes.
You know, like their job isn't working, or their job search, or they have a business and they're having real problems. And often, they're also saying that there's no meaning left in what I do. They're complaining about their job, that they're not getting recognized, and they feel like a number.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the place, that's the description of the pain they're in.
I'm just curious because you've made me think as you've answered that question, Phyllis. Is there any reason why we tend to leave things right to the very end or close to that last minute kind of breakthrough?
Well, I could probably quote Rebel Brown is, we're people who need stability. That's part of our genetic code. But when things get too, and we hang on to stability, but often we hang on to it past the point when it works for us.
Mm.
You know, and when you do that, you get to a place where you have lost track of your options often, and you feel stuck.
Yeah. So that's a good point. So how do you encourage people to get out of that stuckness?
Well, I think maybe a first point is, like, to not call yourself names, like you're not lazy.
Yes.
Or stupid, and it's not true that you don't have any options. But chances are the place when you could see what was actually going on is a little ways back. And when I'm working with people, one of the first things I'm trying to do is find out where they got stuck. Is it a problem with, their workplace? Is it a problem with them? Usually it's a problem with both.
Mm-hmm.
And actually try to understand what is going on.
Right, right. And what do you do to kind of help them get unstuck, I guess?
Well,
a little bit more freedom. Obviously you have to be aware of the self-talk and things like that. Is there any examples you could share that might help us get a better feel?
Yeah. Actually, I'm thinking of a woman who actually was a referral from her physician. And because she was at a place, she thought she was going to be fired shortly, and she had lost 30 pounds, and she wasn't sleeping. And when I met her, she was like humming with tension. So the very first thing I did was I taught her some simple self-care. But then we got into what was going on, and she was going to have a performance review in just a couple of weeks. And when she talked about it, she was very set in that she was going to get fired, and she hated her boss. And, first I had to move her off of hating because I thought that nothing's going to happen that way. But I started working with her on negotiation skills, like thinking of negotiation as any time people are in disagreement, and she and her boss were obviously in disagreement.
Uh-huh.
Both of them dug into the way they were seeing things. But one of the first things in a negotiation is, like, get clear on what you want. And she wanted not to get fired. And then the second part is, like, to be really getting clear on what the other person wants and making them feel heard. So I really, really focused on her listening skills and told her that if she did absolutely nothing else in this performance evaluation except draw him out and make him feel heard, she would at least have built the ground. And it totally worked like that. That's exactly what happened. She spent a full hour making him feel heard, and towards the end of it, he was saying, we've really gotten at loggerhead with each other. And I'm now seeing that part of this is my fault, and looking back, you used to do some really good work, and there are some projects coming up that require someone with your leadership skills, and I see that you're really making an effort to get through and build a good relationship with me, so let's talk about that. And then she did go on and move on to leadership track.
Wow.
Yeah.
So essentially it was a kind of a reframing then for her, and also acquiring some skills that she might not have been as good at beforehand.
Yeah, and obviously both of them had gotten really entrenched. And I'm telling this as a simple story. There was more to it, and
obviously,
she learned more skills. But, that's just an example of going below the surface and finding out what's really going on and changing what needs to change.
Great. Now, obviously, you do a lot of work in the whole changing with careers. What do you try to say to someone who's looking to find more meaning in their work, which seems to be such a common theme today?
It really is a common theme, and I've always been doing that kind of work, but I even read an article this morning where they named it as work 4.0 as a big trend, particularly for boomers and Generation X and Y. And, you know, it is true that people want more meaning, and they also are very concerned about the values of their workplace and that they really want to be in a place with positive leadership. They want transparency. They want to be in a place that feels collaborative. They're concerned about ethical standards. And, you know, and for some people, they also really want to see the connection between what their workplace does and their values.
Right.
You know, many times when I work with people, though, like, that's pretty hazy. You know, like, they're not sure what their values are. They, you know, they've been so focused on what they thought they needed to do that they've lost track of, you know, in some way who they are and what's meaningful for them.
Mm-hmm. It's almost so focused on doing that not becoming.
Yeah, yeah. So,
to admit,
so like,
I'm
sorry?
Go ahead, please. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So, you know, so that's a big part of what I do with them, and part of that usually starts out with talking about when they've had flow experiences, you know, like the peak times when they're so absorbed in what they do that they lose track of themselves and they lose track of time. Because that's often an indication about their deepest values and the competencies that are uniquely theirs.
Gotcha.
So that's a starting place.
Well, it's a good starting place. Now, I'm a baby boomer, like I know several of our listeners will be, and I know many of us are kind of questioning what's next, retirement, continued work, new career. What are you kind of communicating and doing to help people in that phase of the baby boom generation?
Well, I work with a lot of mid and late career people, and I also write for the career portal, jobhunt.org, and
okay.
I write a column there about boomer job search. And actually, through that connection, I've been meeting some extremely exciting people at organizations that are doing a lot to help boomers transition and also to work with employers to create more flexible work arrangements for boomers.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So it's an area where there's a lot of activity. It's very exciting.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And how do you tend to work on that career change mode? What do you tend to do?
Well, one of the things with people at midlife and beyond to realize is that a lot of people haven't really done any self-evaluation, really thinking about who they are and what they want to do, since they were in their teens or early 20s.
Mm.
And not only have they changed, but the world of work has changed and the options have changed, and how people look for work has changed. So it's really important to go and do some basic groundwork and relook at, you know, like since you were in high school or college, you've developed a whole world of skills and abilities and wisdom, and your priorities have changed. And so it's really good to take a period of time for reflection on what you want to carry forward. And I also find that a lot of people are in a place where they want to actually build a positive legacy from their work. So you see more people moving into fields like healthcare or working in nonprofits because they want to see the impact of their work on issues that concern them.
Yeah, well, I feel like you're quoting my life behind me or something here. That's a very good description. We've only got another minute or so, Phyllis, but I want to make sure our listeners know how to get in touch with you. What would be some good ways to be able to reach out to you if they want to?
Well, they can find me at phyllismuffson.com.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and also you could follow me on Twitter. I'm at Phyllis Muffson. And if you can't spell
that, I
want
to make sure. Would you mind just spelling that, because I might be a little concerned.
P H Y double L two L's I S and then M like man, U F like Frank, S like Sam, O N like Nancy.
Beautiful. You did all the nice kind of little acronym things, call out letters, whatever they are. But that was great. If parting words, what would, for those needing that whole revitalization that you tend to bring to people, what would be one tip that you would give to some of our listeners today?
Oh, I would just encourage them to have hope and realize that there really are a lot of options. It may take a little digging, but there are places for them out there and that they're needed.
Good points. Thank you so much for this wonderful advice and ideas and thoughts, Phyllis. And we're going to take a quick break here at this point and ask our listeners to join us back in a few minutes on Real Recognition Radio as we ask our guests, Rebel Brown, Phyllis Mufson, and Jane Perdue, more about positive influence and defying gravity. For Real Recognition Radio, this is Roy Saunderson and Max Brown.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
Get ready for an exciting and eye-opening hour every week on Globe Talk with Avasant. Join your host, Kevin Parikh, for an inside look at the world economy with a special focus on technology and its impact on humankind. We will invite the top industry experts to our forum and answer your questions, too. Globe Talk with Avasant airs live every Friday at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business,
you'll find the experts here.
Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about: getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio with myself, Max Brown, and my colleague, Roy Saunderson. And, of course, our guests we've been speaking to today, Rebel Brown, Phyllis Mufson, and today and now on this third segment, Jane Perdue. Jane, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Max. I'm delighted to be here.
I am glad you're here as well. And I know, and I want to introduce you to the guests as Principal and CEO of Braithwaite Innovation Group, and is the co-author of her first book called Yes, You Can, Braithwaite Innovation Group, a female-owned professional development consulting firm, focuses on challenging your thinking at the intersection of the art of leadership and the science of business. And throughout your own career in corporate and entrepreneurial careers, Jane, I know you've done numerous leadership development programs, some exclusively for women, and you've coached hundreds of business leaders to use their heads to manage and their hearts to lead. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, I am delighted to speak with you and your guests as well, and my two esteemed colleagues, Phyllis and Rebel.
Yes, I'm smiling from ear to ear just with all three of you today. It's just so great. Can you tell us, Jane? I met you obviously through social networking, and you're titled the HR goddess, but you've earned the nicknames the Iron Hand in the Velvet Glove. And also this other name, the HR Goddess. Can you tell us how you got those nicknames?
Yeah, don't you love nicknames? About 20 years ago, Max, I was working in labor relations. So I was handling union contract negotiations, arbitrations, grievances. And at that time, a woman doing that was fairly unusual. And so as I have throughout my whole career, I'm nice, I'm polite, I'm respectful, but I also drive for accountability and results, and I never let the fellows get the better of me. And hence one of the labor leaders bestowed the ironed hand and the velvet glove title, and it stuck. And then I brought that same mindset to HR. I firmly believe that HR is a transformational field. And within the HR departments where I worked, I made sure we had a seat at the table long before folks were talking about a seat at the table. And so the HR team was, you know, integral to making things happen. And so then my team said, oh, our HR goddess. And so that stuck, and it's carried through to Twitter and a number of other things.
Well, it's wonderful. It reminds me, you know, as I think about this, that you're talking about HR as a transformational position, and I really like that, as opposed to a mindset of being, you know, the administrator or the event planners, if you will, or the recruiters, you know, that just fill slots. Could you tell me a little bit more why you feel like HR is transformational?
Yes. HR, in my view, Max, is the function that brings the right people into the organization at the right time, delivers the right skill, and creates the right environment where they're delivering the right thing to the customer. And I mean, and that is huge in the competitive market that we're in today, or any time, you know, that businesses are operating. It all happens by and through people, and HR's the people.
Yes, yes. So with that in mind, Jane, how would you do this? How would you define... How do you define leadership in this day and age?
Yes. Well, thank you for letting me add my voice to. I had Googled it the other day, and there's like 900,000 definitions of leadership.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, my view about leadership is that at first it all starts within, and that you have to connect to yourself. You have to understand your strengths. You have to know what you do well. And then you take that self-connection and do what I call get your big on. And you use that connection then to guide and lead and inspire others so that those folks can use their head to manage and their heart to lead. Really big about working with people in a leadership capacity to say that you've got to think in terms of people, principles, and profits in how you work with your employees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a holistic approach, isn't it?
Very much. Headset, it's a mindset, it's a heart direction. It all has to come together to make it right for people and for business.
So with that in mind, Jane, what would you say are the biggest challenges ahead as leaders work to engage employees? Because, you know, a lot of statistics are coming out right now saying that people are feeling pretty low at work. Actually, majority of workers are actually saying, hey, if I could find somewhere else to go, I would.
Yes, I mean, Max, you're right. I think, what is it, the job board study shows that confidence is at an all-time low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my thought here is that if you're going to step forward as a leader, you really have to be focused on what you're titling part of this segment, which is, you know, positive influence. You got to make sure that you're creating that environment where people feel positive about coming to work. They have that opportunity to learn and collaborate. I think it was within the last year that Pricewaterhouse came out with a study around the millennials.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that surfaced in that study was that younger folks really want to have the opportunity to learn and develop and make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's where, you know, leaders going forward, you know, to your point, to begin to turn that attitude around, have to be willing to invest in their people.
Mm-hmm.
By providing, you know, the coaching and the learning and the training opportunities so people feel like they're learning and growing, they can feel connected to themselves, and then take that connection and apply it to their organization. And then, keeping my fingers crossed, hopefully, you know, the organization is connected to the community and sustainability. So you create the people, principle, profit, three-legged stool.
Yeah, and, you know, so I understand this need. My question, I guess, comes down to now is, how do we get people to go there? Because it seems like a lot of people say, you know, easier said than done, or we have a lot of listeners, they give us feedback, and they say, you know, But how? How do we do that if we feel like we already work in a place that isn't supporting us that way, or that leaders don't feel like it's their responsibility to bring positive influence into the workplace?
Yes, and I hear that all too often as well, which is a sad state of affairs. First thing is, I think it has to start with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You change typically starts within, so you drop the pebble within the organizational pool by your walking the talk and exhibiting positive influence and providing learning opportunities. And there's study after study, again, that show when you have that kind of environment and employees are engaged, it shows up in the bottom line. Mm-hmm. And when it shows up in the bottom line with higher revenue, better performance in the market sectors around equity, that many times is unfortunately, what it takes to get senior leadership's attention. So I would love for it to be a more top-down driven exercise. Not seeing that hoping happen. I keep hoping with the recession that perhaps some enlightened leader someday will take that opportunity. But start with yourself.
Yes.
Be positive.
Yeah. Well, and it seems, that's a common thread with what Rebel has said, what Phyllis has said, and what you've said as well. It does. It comes down to our own way of being first.
Yes.
I would like to take that one step further. We have a couple minutes here, Jane, you've made some programs, leadership programs, exclusively for women. Now, I think we actually do need to do a show where we talk about maybe the genders in work and how that impacts workplace. Today, obviously, we have three wonderful experts, and you all bring this wonderful insight into how to create this wonderful work. How does a woman's leadership program different than maybe another leadership program, or why would you make one exclusively for women? What's the need or the pull there?
The big need, Max, is what I call how women are socialized to be the good girl.
Uh-huh.
I want to play off of a great point that Phyllis made. Many times as women go into negotiations, one of their primary concerns, and it may be subconscious, is to be liked, mm-hmm. as opposed to defining an outcome that's good for them, good for the business, and good for the other partner. And so it's at that point they have to use Rebel's philosophy of, defying gravity to step into, that personal power and recognize that creating a deal that's good for your organization is what you are about as a businesswoman first. And you want to do that in a win-win, professional, positive sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
So getting women in that mindset that you step into your power, you don't seek approval as being the good girl or the nice girl. And so it's that behavioral, attitudinal, kind of inner critic dimension that's different in these programs.
Okay. Now, we have 30 seconds. I hope we can discuss this in the next segment, too, because I want people to know how to find you. But I want to find out, so can the good people still win? Can the good people still win, or does that mean that we all have to become hardcore, don't care who you are or what you are, if I can take advantage? I don't mean to be extreme about it. I'm just saying, can the good people still win? Can we still be nice and have a good work relationship and succeed?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We certainly can. Or I'm going to die trying.
Amen. Amen. And that's the message Roy and I've been trying to put out there a long time too. Jane, how would people find you? How do people find you if they want to hear more?
Right, several ways. Of course, you can reach me on Twitter. I'm the HR Goddess. You can also reach me at Jane@Braithwaite Innovation Group, BRAITHEWAITE Innovation Group.com. Also my blog, Get Your Leadership Big On.
Love it. Love it. We are having a fantastic conversation today with three wonderful experts, Rebel, Phyllis, and Jane. Thank you all for being here. We're going to bring this fourth segment back. It's going to be a round robin. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be fun for Real Recognition Radio. This is Max Brown and my colleague Roy Saunderson reminding you to keep it real. And we'll be right back.
Whether whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now. Toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
When you are trying to establish your financial plan, there are all sorts of variables that you'll need to take into consideration, from the ever-changing economy and markets to investment risk and your own financial needs. How do you manage all of it to find a plan that'll work for you? Tune in to The Insightful Investor with Bob Pugh. We'll help you iron it all out to help you stick to a financial plan with the knowledge that you need. The Insightful Investor is broadcast live Mondays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio, our last segment, and we're continuing our conversation with Rebel Brown, Phyllis Muffson, and Jane Perdue, our great guests today, and we're going to learn some final pointers on positive influence and defying gravity. And my goodness, Max, I don't think I've ever had three guests on the line. This is incredible.
This is fun.
And
I'm having a lot of fun.
And what a great contribution they're making in the world and in the workplace and in leadership in general. We're going to go around each of you, and or you may just kind of just pipe in accordingly for these last questions that we're going to go through. But I'm curious. We've got a lot of managers on the line here or listening to our show. What's one thing they could do to improve the work environment for their employees? A very not often thought about topic.
You know, one thing that managers can do to improve the workplace is, I think, make an authentic connection with their employees and provide them real, honest feedback about how that they're doing. You know, that's not conflict, that's not something to be avoided, but, you know, helping an employee understand where they can move their career along, in my mind, plays huge dividends in creating that kind of environment where employees are engaged.
And I think that's very much the key, isn't it, is listening to your employees. Mm-hmm. Any other points that Phyllis or Rebel you'd like to give on that, how we can get that whole work environment to make it a better place?
Sure. This is Phyllis. I'll be really brief, just hitchhiking on what Jane said. And with the theme of real recognition, like recognition programs are very important, but also recognizing what people are doing right as well as what they're doing wrong.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. That is so true. I did some work in Europe, and within the Germanic culture, it is very common to just only comment about the things that are wrong, and people have told me that they don't hear anything about the good things. So I guess maybe that throws up another question. What role does appreciation and recognition really play within the workplace and for employees? Anyone?
It should play a greater role than what it does in many organizations. You know, when folks do a good job, tell them.
Uh-huh. So why, and maybe any of you, why do you think leaders, managers, peer-to-peer, why do we have such a hard time giving recognition to one another?
Personally, I don't think people take the time. You know, they're so pressed to deliver results. You know, typically within an organization, bosses get rewarded for delivering numbers. You know, maybe if more bosses got rewarded for delivering recognition, and creating that positive influence environment, you know, the old saw, what gets rewarded gets done.
Right, right. Rebel, organizations don't tend to look at this very strategically. How would you kind of work with an organization to get a little bit more strategic on giving recognition?
Well, I think it's, you know, to me it's beyond recognition. It's about communication in an organization.
Uh-huh.
Because one of the big places you'll find that is gravity-laden in almost any organization is the communication flows between employees and employers.
Okay.
And that happens, I mean, and what'll happen is, you know, you'll get certain employees who become viewed as key employees at a point in time. And so there's communication happening between them and the employer. They'll be viewed as the key employees, that, you know, everybody else will view them as the key employees. The communication may take place around those employees and what they want, because they become the feeders of input, if you will, from the employee base into the employers. And what you'll see happen is the organizational shift, that what the organization's doing, what it needs skill set-wise, where its strategy's going, is all shifting, and yet the communication base within the employees hasn't shifted. We're still talking, you know, those favored employees, those best employees, key employees, may indeed be some of the folks that are gravity-laden, that are holding the organization back. We may still be communicating with those employees as the best employees, who are the ones that are representative of the organization, even though they're not anymore.
Okay.
And what we don't do is we don't shift and think, okay, so as we evolve our organizations and our strategy, we need to evolve our communications with our employees. We need to make sure everybody's communicated with. We need to get new and fresh perspectives from our employees on how we're doing. We need to really quality check and validate that the people that we think are our key employees from 2 years ago are really still actually in that role. Because what I'll often see is I'll see people pointed to as the key employees, and when I get in there, what I find is all the other employees are actually doing their jobs and covering for them.
Okay.
And not being recognized, because what they did 2 years ago isn't the same thing, and they've become like dug into their gravity and don't want to change things, and it's actually the other employees that are making the changes and making the advances, and yet they're not being recognized. The traditional key employees are still in that role.
All right. So they're kind of the weighted employee, but it's not really a value.
But and as our business shifts, you know, we need to take a strong look at who we're recognizing, why we're recognizing them, but we also need to take a strong look at how are we communicating our strategy shifts, how are we receiving input from that employee base, and if we're only getting input from the same employees we got input from a year ago, then we need to go out and get a much, just like we need to talk to more than our best customers, we need to talk to our employees in the same way. We need to have a broad diversity of input and communication coming back, and then we need to recognize based on that real-time input, not based on the perceptions that have gotten stuck into our brains and have become the status quo way we think about the employees and where their roles and positions are.
Great, thank you. And Phyllis or Jane, maybe just, and we'll have just a parting thought. One thing you think that leaders could do today to make the workplace a more positive place or create more positive relationships, what would be one sentence kind of parting thought and advice that you would like to give us?
I'd say recognizing that your leadership includes what you know, but it's not about what you know, it's about what you inspire.
Good, great thoughts. Jane, any parting thoughts of wisdom that you'd like to leave our guests, our listeners with? Sorry?
I would like to encourage people to own it. Get involved. Make it happen. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. You start the ball rolling with recognition and positive environment and make it happen.
And we don't often do that, do we?
No.
Kind of wait for somebody else to do it.
Right. Just own it, do it, make it so.
Rebel, one parting thought for you there, please.
If you want to defy gravity, the way to do it is to begin to question everything you believe. Ask why you believe it, when was the last time you checked it with a new audience, and ask if there's a better way, because there usually is.
And that's what we need to do, is seek that better way, always. Wow, Max, what a show we've had today, wouldn't you think?
No, absolutely. It's been a wonderful show. I'm grateful, so grateful to all three of you for being here.
Thank you.
And
it was wonderful being
you.
Here.
Yeah. Thank you so much for putting this together. What a great opportunity, and it's really been fun.
Well,
thank
it sure
you.
Has been for us, too. And Rebel, Phyllis, and Jane, thank you so much for being on our show today. Please, we want our guests and our listeners, of course, to tune in for our next show where Max and I will be continuing our discussion on how to create those better workplaces and truly make positive relationships where people can thrive. Max and I welcome and encourage your comments and suggestions, so please continue to email us at feedback@realrecognition.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening to Real Recognition Radio. For more information about the Recognition Management Institute, please visit us at realrecognition.com. Until next time, this is Roy Saunderson and Max Brown, reminding you to keep it real.
Thank you again for tuning in Real Recognition Radio. Please join Roy Saunderson and Max Brown again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel for more motivational tips to help your employees perform better. We'll talk again next week. How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.